Gentlemen, we're on Daf Hayam and Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, and we had a very strange Brisa, which the Gemara is trying to understand, and the Brisa said, Chagiga v'kolzman chagiga ma'ach. So far we had two possibilities as to how to learn this Brisa. The first one were of Oshia, and he said that this price is talking about Olas Re'iyah. We had a second possibility, and that was Rava. And the way the Rashash understood Rava is that if there's no choice, because let's say Shabbos overlaps with the last day of Yontif, so then you're allowed to bring the Chagiga even on Shabbos itself. Rav Ashi Omar. We're up to Rav Ashi, it's three lines up from the bottom. That's where we got up to yesterday. Rav Ashi Omar. Chagiga v'cholzman chagiga ma'achrin afilu atzeres dechad yoma ma'achrin. So Rav Ashi wants to interpret this brisa as telling me a chiddush about atzeres, which is chag ha'shavuos, because we know that if you didn't bring the korban chagiga during yontif, you have tashlumin. There's a din tashlumin for 7 days, and that makes sense in the case of Sukkot. In the case of Pesach, we have 7 days. But in the case of Shavuos, by definition, you're after the Chag. And that still is considered Zman HaChagiga. That's the Chiddush of Brisa. The Snan we learned in a Mishnah, Umodim Shimchal Atzeres Lios B'Shavis Shabiyom Tavuach Tvoach Achar HaShavis. Because the Brisa wants to tell us that even though Shavuos is only 1 day, if you didn't bring the Chagiga on Shavuos, let's say for example Shabbos overlapped with Shavuos, so then you could bring your Karban for the entire week of Tashlumin after Shavuos. There's Machlokas Shin Beisil Beit Shammai about the case of Shavuos that fell out on Erev Shabbos. Beit Shammai holds that we don't bring Olas Re'iyah on Yontif, and we doche the carbon until after Shabbos. Beis Hill holds that you could be makriv the carbon on Yontif. That's only on Yontif, which is on a weekday, but if it's on Yontif on a Shabbos, then even Beis Hill understands you can't bring the carbon chagig on Shabbos. So if Atzeres, which is Chag HaShavuos, overlaps with Shabbos, then what do you do as far as the Karma Chagiga is concerned? That's the Chiddush of this price, so that you can bring it for a full week, and there's a week of Tashlumin of a Mekah. So now we're starting a new sugya, and this is the last line of Daf Hayom and Aleph. And this has to do with the fact that if Tisha B'Av overlaps with Shabbos, then we push off Tisha B'Av till Sunday. Omer Rab Loza, Omer Rab Chanina. Now, there are two parts to this story of Rebbe. One part of this story is relevant to Purim, and the other part is relevant to Tisha B'Av. Rebbe Nata Netiyah B'Purim. On the day of Purim itself, Rebbe planted a tree, which means that he did a malach of Zorea, and he wasn't considering any sort of Isur malacha on Purim. And we're going to talk about that at great length. And then we turn to Daf Hayom and Beis. The Rochatz Bekrona Shel Tzibori. This was a kind of a public demonstration that you could wash your body b'shivasa b'tamus. In other words, that whereas Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to wash because there are 5 inuyim that are prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is very similar to Yom Kippur in that respect, but on shivasa b'tamus there's no inuy, and therefore you're allowed to wash. And he went out of his way to publicize this. Now, Rashi what is Krona? So Rashi says the Krona are kind of like the wagons that they use to display, they sort of display their goods on Yom HaShuk, on a marketplace, Befar Hesya. And the Kronos, these are the wagons or the trains that used to bring you all the way to the Shuk. And there was a big opening, a big courtyard, and that's where the Shuk took place, and that was Befar Hesya. If you take a look at Tosus, he also points out Lav Dafka Bekrona, it doesn't mean that he went into a wagon and he took a bath in a wagon. El Klomar Bifarhesis. This is the way Rebbe publicly tried to demonstrate and teach that there's no prohibition of Rechitza on Yud Zayin B'Tam.
So he went out to the parking lot.
Right, some sort of a place that was pumped. But the most radical statement here is the next statement. Ubikesh lakar Tisha B'Av, he wanted to completely get rid of Tisha B'Av. Now, if you take a look at Tosus, Bikesh lakar Tisha B'Av, Tosus says Kasha. I don't understand this. Heichi salkadaita, how could it be possible that Rebbe would be Oker Tisha B'Av? We have a rule of thumb that Ein Bezdin Yochel Levatel Divrei Bezdin Chavero Elim Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chok Mevinyin. We discussed this in the past, that a lesser Bezdin cannot override and vitiate an enactment of an earlier Bezdin. And the assumption is that Tisha B'Av dates back to the Bezdin at the time of Zechariah Novi. I mean, this was a very high-powered Bezdin. How could Rebbe even entertain the possibility that he could be Oker, he could completely be Mavatel Tisha B'Av? And not only that, the Gemara says in Tainis that Kol Ochel Veshosa B'Tisha B'Av Ein Arah B'Nechamta Shel Yerushalayim. The Gemara gives you like a whammy that if you don't observe Tisha B'Av, or rather you eat on Tisha B'Av, then it's considered as if you have excluded yourself from the Nechama, from the consolation of Yerushalayim, because Kol Shem Isabel Yerushalayim Zocha V'Roah B'Gul Lasa and Bibinyana. But now you're eating on Tisha B'Av? How could this be? So Tosus V'Yesh Lomar, at the end of Ubikesh, he tries to suggest that maybe this was not really an Akira of Tisha B'Av. So to get a sort of like an overview of this Tosus and many other Rishonim, I'm going to share with you the Yalkut Biurim over here. And he says the following: Hikshu Rishonim Hechsaka Daita Sharotza Rebbe Lakar Tisha B'Av Legamri Ein Bezdin Yochel Levatel Divrei Chavero Elim Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chok Mevinyin. So he gives the first answer in the name of Tosus. Sharotza, it doesn't mean that he wanted to do laokro, but rather laokro min hachumros sheyesh bo yesa misham tainis. In other words, Rebbe wanted to reduce the scope of the prohibition of Tisha B'Av. You can be Mekayim Tisha B'Av in the same way that you are able to be Mekayim other fast days. Now again, we're going to have to, in order to appreciate this, we're going to have to know a little bit about the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah, about Bizman She'ein Shmad V'ein Shalom, which means that in certain periods of time, when there are no gzeris against Klal Yisrael, even though the Beis HaMikdash is not built, but there's no gzeris of Shmad, then Tisha B'Av has the status of other tzomos and Ratzu and Lo Ratzu. It's a matter of acceptance. And Rebbe felt that we don't have to accept Tisha B'Av with all its chumros, but Yehi Mutar B'Rechitza V'Sicha, he would be allowed to violate what normally would be the Inuyim, but also Bachila, it remains just simply an Easter Tainus. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted as giving an explanation for this sheet of Tosfos. He says the following: even though Bezdin, a later Bezdin, cannot undermine an enactment of an earlier Bezdin, but im eno oker es kol ha-takona, dak es chelka, if he doesn't completely, totally undermine the first Bezdin, there's still some vestige left to the first Bezdin, then yesh koch biyodom lakor, then even if technically the second later Bezdin is not as great as the first, they can whittle down the takona, as long as they leave a certain, what he calls chelek shel ha-takona, if they lo akur es ha-takona legamre. So Moshe is not, although it seems like that's what Tosfos is saying, he's not happy with this. Why? Because in terms of the Bnei Kfarim, remember we had a din of Kedima, Tir Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and the Gemara says that that's a violation of Ein Bezdin Acher Yochel L'Sakno. Remember the Gemara Daf Beis? And the Gemara has to give an answer that no, the original Beis Din put in a condition. Why did the Gemara even raise that possibility? Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein. After all, Sham Rabbanan Lo Akru is called Takanah. Why? Because they left Purim on the 14th, even for the Bnei HaKfarim, as far as Simcha and Sud is concerned. It's only that they were mocked in Mikra Megillah. So that's not called Akira's Dabar. Because again, according to the principle of Tosus, as long as there's some vestige of the original Takana left intact, then a later Beis Din could be Okra. So why did the Gemara object to the din of Kedima and Megillah with regard to the villagers? After all, the original enactment of Purim still remains intact. So it came. Therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein proves from the Gemara Daf Beis Mucha Shigam Lakar Chelik Me'atakona. Even if you're only whittling down the Takona, Ain Kol Piyad Beis Din. Beis Din does not have that power and that authority to undermine even part of the Takona, even if they leave a vestige of the Takona. And therefore, at this point, Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to offer another possible explanation for Tosfos, and he says the following: Shekol Achumros Einu Mitakonis Nevim El Takonim Beis Din Meuchar Yoseh. He says that Tisha B'Av evolved over two historical periods. In the original period, which is at the time that the Nevi'im sat together with the Chachamim on the Beis Din and they enacted Tisha B'Av, they only established Tisha B'Av as a fast day. It was only a later Beis Din that embellished Tisha B'Av, expanded it because of sorrows, and they added Inuyim to the observance of Tisha B'Av. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, as far as Rechitza is concerned, which is what Rebbe did, Bekrona Shel Tzipori, that was as far as Rechitza is concerned. He only wanted to say that the Takan of the later Beis Din is no longer in vogue or is no longer active and binding. And therefore, Rebbe basically equated Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. They both have the same din, and B'Shneim, in both cases, Rebbe was Matir Rechitza, and he agreed that Achila is prohibited. So again, all this is based on what I call a very original creative concept here of Rav Moshe, that in fact the Takana of Tisha B'Av was a twofold Takana in two different stages. But now he quotes the Ramban that the Gemara says in the Sefer Hashan, as we said before, that as far as the Takanas Nevi'im is concerned vis-a-vis Tisha B'Av, if we have a period of time of Ein Gzera, in other words, the Nevi'im are going back to a time of Shmad, of Gzera. But Bizman, She'ein Gzera, then there's Halach, the Gemara establishes in Hashanah of Mis'anim, Ratzu Mis'anim, Lo Ratzu Lo Mis'anim. In other words, the Iker Takana was left to, shall I say, be either certified or rejected by later generations when there would be no Shema. So again, the original Takana at the time of the Nevi'im, according to the Rashba, was at the time of Shema. There were gzeros against Klal Yisrael. At that time, the enterprise of Tisha B'Av is not a matter of acceptance or rejection. You know, you can't. There's no what we call in America. We call it system of checks and balances. There's no checks and balances. That's as far as the Shas Hashmad is concerned. So, forevermore on Shas Hashmad, we have to observe Tisha B'Av with all its trappings. So, not just as an Isur Tainis, but also as an Isur of Inui. However, if there's no Shmad, there's Manchein Gzera. Even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it depends upon the willingness and the consent of the people of Israel. That's the Shita of the Rashba. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara right now. I just wanted to get a little bit of a flavor as to how Rebbe could possibly be Oker Tisha B'Av. And we have two opinions. We have the opinion of Tosfos that he was only Oker the additional dimension of Inui, but he left the original Takana of Isur Tainis intact. So the only thing he did publicly was wash his body. And then we have the Rashba's approach that there's halach of Ratzu Misanin, Lo Ratzu Lo Misanin, because it's not Shas Hashmad. That's all that we, at least for me, that's what I wanted to try to accomplish here from this. In any event, lo hodu lo chachomim. The chachomim did not accept the opinion of Rebbe, and therefore Tisha B'Av remains intact, just as it was in the original takon. Amar lefanav of Rabbi Abba bar Zavda said to Rabbi Lazar, Rebbe lo kachoyam maisa. He corrects him and he says that I investigated the story, and it's not true. It's not true that Rebbe wanted to be oker the fast of Tisha B'Av. Ella, but rather, what was the deal over there? It was only on that particular year that Rebbe wanted to be oker Tisha B'Av. And why is that? Because Tisha B'Av chalios b'Shabbos. On that particular occasion, Tisha B'Av overlapped with Shabbos. Udechinu liachra Shabbos. And the Chacham decided that we'll observe the fast day of Tainis Tisha B'Av on Sunday. The Omer Rebbe got up and he made a macha. He made a protest. He says, "Hol v'nidcha yidocha." Once already, it's off the original 9th of Av. Then there's no obligation. There's nothing binding or compelling us to fast because the 10th of Av was never designated as a fast day. The Chacham didn't agree because they felt that the original Takon of Tisha B'Av had a two-day enterprise. The enactment was that we should fast on the 9th of Av, but in event that we cannot fast on the 9th of Av, then we'll fast on the 10th of Av, because that's when the Mikdash was destroyed. And therefore the Chachamim insisted that we have to observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, on the 10th of Av. Kari Alei, so Rabbi Lezer said about himself, because he himself misunderstood the whole story of Rebbe, Tovim Ashnayim in HaEchad, that when you have two people together, I think there's a pasuk in Koheles, let me see if I'm right. Do your Gemaras tell you where this pasuk is? Yeah, it's in Koheles. Yeah, the only thing I know about Koheles is whatever I heard on Sukkot, on Chol, whatever remains in my memory. But this one I remember, Tovim Ashnayim in HaEchad, which is the ethical part of Koheles. And it means that it's very good that I learned this with Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, because he set the record straight and he told me that the accurate record would tell us that Rebbe did not in any way want to get rid of Tisha B'Av, but rather he held that there's no such thing as a nidcha with regard to Tisha B'Av. But that's only half the story of Rebbe. The other half of the story of Rebbe is a Purim story, and Rebbe planted trees on Purim. I wonder why he chose Purim, right? It wasn't Tu B'Shvat. But the answer is, once again, he wanted to demonstrate something publicly. And that is that there's no Isur Melacha on Purim. And the Gemara has a real problem with that. A real serious problem. Based on Megillas Esther. Gemara asked Vatani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef quotes a pasuk in Megillah. And he darshens the pasuk. I'll read to you the whole pasuk. Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prozim, ha-yoshvim bi-ori ha-prozos. Moshe, you're able to hear me? Okay. Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prozim, ha-yoshvim bi-ori ha-prozos, osim es yom arbos ha-lechodesh ador, simcha u-mishte v'yontif. There are three key terms over here. These are days of number one Simcha, number two Mishta, and number three Yontif. And then the pasuk goes on to talk about Mishloach Manos Ishlorei. So here's how Rav Yosef interprets this pasuk: Simcha melamed shasurim behesped. In other words, what's antithetical to Simcha? Hesped, or what we call avelus. So if Nebuchadnezzar they have to bury the dead on Purim, there won't be any hesped. Mishta, Melamich also betainis. We're not allowed to fast. Fasting is antithetical to Mishta. But what's for Yom Tov? Melamich also vasiyas malacha. In other words, like any other Yontif in the Torah, the Rabbanon established a Yontif of Purim Mirabbanon, and that Yontif of Purim is a mirror image of a Yontif Doraisa, and it has therefore an Isur malacha. So how could it be that Rebbe would plant a tree on Purim, which is a Malachim Zoreya, or Notea to be more exact, and yet Rav Yosef already taught us that the word Yontif, the phrase Yontif here in this passage, teaches me some Malacha. Ela Rebbe Bar Arbeisa Hava. Rebbe lived in an open city, and therefore he would have to observe Purim on the 14th of Adar. V'chinata, but when did he plant the tree? It was b'chameisar nata. It was on the 15th. In other words, had Rebbe lived in a walled city, then Enochinami never would have done what he did. But since he lived in an unwalled city, then for him, the 15th of Adar is a regular day. There's certainly no Issur Melacha for someone who lives. So if you observe Purim on the 14th, then for sure you would have abstained from Melacha on the 14th, because the 14th is a Yontif. But as far as the 15th is concerned, there's no obligation to observe the 15th if you live in an open city. The 15th is exclusively dedicated to whom? To the Bnei Akrochim who lived in walled cities, near Mos, Yoshua bin Nun. What do you say, Moshe?
No, so fine. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's a nice thing. So fine. So he was able to. So he was planting on a day of Purim.
It was a day of Purim, but not for him, if you follow.
Not for him, right.
So, in other words, I live in.
So, what have you taught me here?
So you might think that if you live in Tel Aviv, then you have to observe the 15th as well, at least as far as Issur Melacha is concerned. In other words, you might have thought that both days are invested for everybody with the status of a yontif. No, the word yontif here in this pasuk is relative. So when you read the pasuk and the pasuk speaks about the prazim and the krachim and so forth and so on, when it says yontif, it means ikol echad lufi dino, meaning it's relative. If you belong to this group, then your yontif is on that day. If you belong to the other group, your yontif is on a different day. You remember that we discussed back at the beginning of the Masech, the zmanim harbe tiknu em chachamim. The ein zmano shel zeh ki zmano shel zeh. So therefore, Rebbe wanted to demonstrate that there's no Issur Melacha on the 15th if you live in an open city. Now at this point, I would like to take a little bit of a break here and discuss with you the concept of Simcha, because what we saw so far in the drush of Rabbi Yosef is that Simcha generates an Isser Hesped. We didn't see any positive elements in Simcha. And then we got to the word Mishta, and once again, Mishta generates an Issur Tainus, you're not allowed to fast. Is that the whole thrust of Simcha and Purim? It's just that you're not allowed to fast? So imagine if I eat my regular three meals a day, you know, on Purim, and then I fulfill my mitzvah of Mishta. That doesn't make any sense. So again, if you read this Gemara literally, and this is what the Mefarshim point out here, you come to the mistaken conclusion based on our sugya that there's no mitzvah of Suuda and Mishta on Purim. As long as you're careful to observe the Isser Tainus, that's enough. However, the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Samaches on the base also quotes Rav Yosef, and here's the statement of Rav Yosef in Pesachim. He says, "Akol modim, Amar Rav Yosef, Akol modim bePurim, deVeina nami lachem." Now this is machlokas as far as Yontif is concerned, which means Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Can you go through the day in a very austere kind of way without eating and just dedicating yourself to Torah study and to davening in the Beis HaKnesses? That's called Kulol Hashem. But as far as Purim is concerned, Rabbi Yosef says nobody argues, everybody agrees that you need Lachem. My timer. How does Rabbi Yosef prove this? You may Mishteh v'Simcha k'simteh. And here we see clearly that there's a Chiyuv Seuda, meaning one man, the Yom the Gemara says that every Yontif has a Chiyuv Seuda, and that's called Lachem. But would Purim, and the other man, the Yom says, no, you don't have to fulfill Lachem. But clearly the word Lachem refers to a Chiyuv Achiv Seuda. And now we're saying that everybody agrees, says Rabbi Yosef, that with regard to Purim, you need Lachem, and it's Achiv to do a Seuda. So we have to take the two Sugyas together. Our Sugya only indicates an Issa Tainis, but the Sugya of Rabbi Yosef himself indicates that there's Achiv Seuda. And the Rambam in Hilchus Megillah, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel, codifies the Iser of Hesped V'Tainis on both Yudalit and Tesvah. And then he writes, Mitzvah Seuda, no Heges Kol Echad Rak Biyomo. He says that although the Iser Hesped V'Tainis applies for all Jews on both the 14th and the 15th, in contrast, the mitzvah of Seuda only applies on one of those 2 days. Either your day is Yudalit or your day is Tesvah. But clearly, the Rambam indicates that there's a chiyuv of Mishnah and Seuda on Purim. So he must be accepting the Gemara, the statement of Rav Yosef as quoted himself. And now he quotes the Divrei Yitziv. The Divrei Yitziv, one of the Achronim, says that the chiyuv Mishnah and Simcha is only Drabbanah. Whereas the Divrei Kabbalah is Iser Tainis Vehesped. This is what you call a brisker Svei Dinim, although this was the Divrei Yitziv was not a brisker. But what I mean to say is that he's splitting Purim into two elements. One is the Divrei Kabbalah, one has an upgraded status of being mandated by the Megillah itself, which is Divrei Kabbalah, and the other one is not mandated by the Megillah, but rather it's a separate Takonis Chachamim, the new Mitzvah Drabbanon, and that's the Mitzvah of Simcha and Mishta. So as far as the Issur Tainis and Hesped is concerned, that has the status of Divrei Kabbalah, and that's what our Gemara of Rav Yosef here, Megillah, is darshaning from the Pasuk. The Pasuk itself, even though it calls it Mishteh v'Simcha, doesn't engender a mitzvah of Seuda. The mitzvah of Seuda was a separate Takanas Chachamim, and therefore it's not mentioned in the Pasuk. What Rav Yosef says that on Purim you need Lachem, what he means to say is that Midrabbanon, there's a mitzvah of Seuda on Purim. So let me ask you a question, Rabbi Osai. On a Doraisa level, if I observe Purim without fasting, but I don't eat a special Seuda, have I fulfilled my Torah requirement of Purim? Yes. On a Drabbana level, I forfeited the obligation, the fulfillment of Seuda of Mishteh. Now, way before the Divrei Yitziv, this already appears in one of the Rishonim, one of the late Rishonim called the Tashbetz, and the Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies this halacha, he seems to say explicitly against this principle. What does he write? Simon Tafrech Sadifah. Yesh Misha Omer Sha'onein Mutar Bibasar V'yayin. Some want to say that even though an Onein in general before Kvura, because of his very intense Avelus, he's not allowed to eat meat or drink wine, but in the case of Purim, he, even though he's an Onein, will eat meat and drink wine in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Seudas Purim. Says the Mechaber, why is that so? I mean, after all, an Onein is enjoined from eating meat and drinking wine. Why shouldn't that apply even on Purim? And the answer is, says the Mechaber, his mitzvah of Avelus is only an Aseh D'Yachid. It's a private mitzvah. And it doesn't have the power to be doche the mitzvah of Simchas Purim, which is called an Aseh Derabim De'Oraisa. Wow. The Mechaber is outspoken, and he classifies the mitzvah of Seuda on Purim as a mitzvah d'oraisa. And then he adds the Divrei Kabbalah, Heim Kedivrei Torah, because that which is codified in the Tanakh has the status of Divrei Torah. So the reason why the Onein will eat meat and drink wine during Aninus on Purim is because the mitzvah of Seuda on Purim is like a mitzvah d'oraisa. So far as it'd be Divrei Kabbalah. And now we're not talking just about the Issur Tainis, we're talking about the mitzvah of Seuda. So we see clearly that according to the Mechaber, the mitzvah of Seuda is the Divrei Kabbalah. So it's not the way we saw in the Tashbetz. And comes along the Binyan Shlomo, and he offers the following teretz. Yesh chiluk bein ha-posuk ha-rishon Shebo rotzel lekabel atzma gam es yontiv. Tainu isum alocha. Lebei mashu besof lo kibel al atzma isum alocha kimavur bigamara. There were two historical periods. Initially, they accepted upon themselves the isum alocha, and later on, they rejected the isum alocha. We'll see that soon. In other words, he says that the rabbanon ein yichol l'takin mitzvah osefas kein do raisa. And therefore, when the Rabbanon were misakin a mitzvah of Suda, that only has the status of a Rabbanon. It cannot be considered to Ein Do Raisa. And that's what it says in the Binyan Shlomo. Again, I'm hard-pressed to try to put the Binyan Shlomo back into the Mechaber, because the Mechaber says the reason why the Onen will eat meat and drink wine is because of this mitzvah Do Raisa of Suda. Whereas the Binyan Shlomo seems to be assuming that no, that this whole institution of a Seuda has to be Darabonon, because otherwise, you know, how can we say that we add a new mitzvah? It's only Darabonon. Again, I don't know exactly how they can add a mitzvah Darabonon either. That has to be understood. But he says they couldn't possibly have equated the din of Seuda to a mitzvah d'oraisa, because if that would be the case, they would be violating Baal Tosef. So they had to make some sort of difference between the observance of Purim as a yontif and the observance of yontif d'oraisa, because otherwise it's Baal Tosef. So what did they do? So first they accepted an isa malacha, and I guess within the context of the isa malacha, they sort of changed the nature of the day. But then later on, lo yachlu l'kabel, they couldn't accept upon themselves the isa malacha, and he says kibul kach isa hesped v'tainus al basof shelo kibul atzim isa malacha shuv yachlu l'kabel atzim chiyuv seuda mishter. Alright, Rabbo, so we'll have to go over this again, Bli Neder, on Sunday, because I push it to, I can't. Alright. So let's just try to read a few more lines in the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Aini, is it really true that Rebbe was a Tel Avivi, meaning he lived outside of a walled city? Var Rebbe v'Tveria hava. Rebbe lived in Tveria. And what's the status of Tveria? Tveria is an ir mukefes choma mimos Yoshua ben Nun. Now, you and I may know that that's not necessarily the case, and the Gemara is going to backtrack now on its original premise that certainly Rebbe had to observe Purim on the 15th because Rebbe lived in Tveria, and the Gemara is going to question what exactly is the status of Tveria. Is Tveria an ir mukefes choma mimos Yoshua ben Nun, or is it not? And Chizkia, who's a later Amora, much later than Rebbe, he himself observed Purim on 2 days in Tveria, both on the 14th and the 15th, because the Suffolk has the status of Tveria. So here he asks the following question. This is the Rashba. He says, how does Gemara have a kash on Rebbe? And the Pshitus that Rebbe lived in Tveria, and Tveria's Mukefes Choma. The Gemara later on is going to say that even at the time of Rebbe, Tveria was a suffix. Then the Gemara later on is going to talk about what's called the dinim of Bate Ore Choma, which have a special din as far as sales are concerned, sales of karka. And the Gemara is going to tell us that Tveria is a suffix. So it seems that it's very clear that Tveria is a suffix. And then he says, Echa Gemara maschila lehakshos bepshitus for Rebbe Tveria havi, the Tveria havi, Tveria mukefes choma. And then afterwards, the Gemara asks the exact opposite of Mipshitol. It's a very strange Gemara. And then he says, the Gemara is going to quote Chizkiah, that Chizkiah vacillated back and forth as to what the status of Tveria is.
Read the Sophic. Yeah.
And the Gemara is going to say that the Rebbe Pshita, but the Chizkiya Safek. So Rebbe knew for sure that the status of Tveria is that of a walled city, and Chizkiya didn't know about it. So the Rashi is bothered by this. He says, Hoya Chizkiya L'smoch al Rebbe. Why didn't Chizkiya rely on Rebbe? So the Rashba now has a different shot in the Gemara. He says, "Hasha'ela al Rebbe." The Gemara's question on Rebbe: "Lohois al derech vadai el al derech safin." In other words, the Maksha knew that Rebbe was in Tveria. The Maksha knew that the status of Tveria is that of a safek. We don't know if it's mukefas koma or not. And the reason for that is the choma that surrounded Tveria was only on three sides, but the fourth side was the Kinneret, was the Yam itself, and we don't know if that's called a Hekef choma. So the Gemara now wants to clarify, what does Rebbe hold as far as Tveria is concerned? When do we read the Megillah in Tveria? So the Makshan says that according to you, Rebbe would celebrate Purim and read the Megillah on Yudalit, even though he lived in Tveria, which means that Rebbe must have held that even though Tveria is Mukaf Choma on three sides, but it's not considered Mukaf Choma, and the reason for that is because it's not walled on the fourth side. So the Gemara says no. That's not what Rebbe holds. On the contrary, Rebbe planted a tree on Yudalit, which means that he held that certainly Tveri has the status of a Mukefas Choma, and therefore there's no observance of Isra Malach on the 14th. So the Gemara says, but L'chizkiya Misafkalei, Chizkiya himself had a Safek, what the status of Tveri or not, is it called Mukefas Choma? And therefore it should make sense that Rebbe also had a suffix and it wasn't posher to him, so how could he plant the tree on the 14th? So the Gemara answers that Rebbe himself thought that if it has three walls, that's enough. And therefore Purim is only on the 15th and not on the 14th. But Chizkiya was aware of other shittos that maybe if it's not walled on the fourth side, then it's not Ukefes Choma, and therefore he has to observe both on the 14th and on the 15th because of Safek. So even though the Gemara later on is going to exclude, Tveria from the status of Ir Mukefes Choma as far as Bate Ari Choma is concerned, that Gemara is going to reflect the Shita that you have to have a Hekif Choma on all four sides, but Rebbe himself disagrees with that, and he holds three sides is enough. And the Maksha was never asking in Vados. He was never saying for sure Rebbe was somebody who had to observe Purim on the 15th. El al derech biru. The Gemara just wanted to clarify. Well, if in fact Rebbe did observe Purim on the 15th, so why did he plant the tree? So the Gemara says, let's say the opposite, that Rebbe felt that Tveria maybe is not considered Mukefas Choma. And basically, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth on this question as to what the status of Tveria is. Okay, we'll just read another line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Umib shitolei the Tveria mukefes chomi mos yashuv min nun." Is it really true that Rebbe would plant a tree on the 14th because he held Purim on the 15th, meaning he held that if it has a Hekif Chom on three sides, that's enough to give it the status of an Ir Mukefes Chom of Achizkiya Kari B'Tveria Barba. He read the Megillah and Tveria on Arba Asar B'Chamesa, both on the 14th and the 15th. Shemesafkele Mukefes Chom Mos Yoshu Ben Nuni Ilo. And he vacillated back and forth as to whether or not it's enough that you have three walls around the city, and therefore he read the Megillah on the 14th as well as the 15th. So the Gemara says, "Chizkiya Masafkei the Rebbe Pshitale." Chizkiya knew he was aware of other opinions amongst the Tanoim who disagreed with Rebbe. Rebbe, in fact, held that for sure the status of Tveri is undoubtedly that of a Mukefes Choma, and therefore Rebbe would plant a tree on Yudalit, not on Tesvav. But Chizkiya was worried about the other Shitos that say that no, it's not really Mukefes Choma, it's open on the fourth side. And the Gemara now is going to ask the following question. even if I grant you that Rebbe held that Purim was on, in Tveria was on the 15th, nevertheless he still has to observe the 14th, and that's based on the halacha of Megillas Taimus. So B'lin Neder, next week we'll talk about this Gemara of Megillas Taimus.